Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. Well, welcome again to our podcast. So yes, there's Nathan, there's I, and we have a guest today. We invited Kayla on to kind of share a little bit about how she feels about the topic and just some of her experiences. And so welcome, Kayla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about a very, what would we call this topic?
It's controversial.
Very controversial topic, yeah, in our country. So we're going to talk about the topic of abortion. So the left is contributing all this to them trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. And they're saying that pro-lifers really aren't that committed, that this is more of the polarization of Trump, coming from Donald Trump. And so it's really not anything to do with us caring about life. It's more to do with we support the president and that's his views. Celebrities have joined together to boycott filming in any states that support a pro-life abortion bill. I don't know why that matters to people, but I guess it does. Pro-choice defenders are now saying it's immoral. So they've kind of taken the stance of it's immoral now to take away the rights of women to be able to have abortions. And the left is claiming that it's better for a woman to terminate her pregnancy than a child to not be wanted or to put into foster care. And this is supposed to decrease crime because less people born into poverty, less strain on the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say that, due to the rise in, abortions, that this can be correlated to the statistics on crime and social welfare program use and stuff like that, and that because primarily in low-income families, so like the demographics would be those in poverty are often the ones who have the most abortions.
Okay.
So the thought is like, well, these people are the people who are going to be most at risk for crime, most at risk for social welfare type needs, in other social programs. And so it alleviates the stress upon society because these kids aren't being born. Hmm. And so this is sort of how they're justifying it in a sense by saying, hey, this is better for all of society that they're having these abortions. Otherwise, these kids would be born into bad families and then they would probably just contribute to the criminal justice system, and to just all the problems of society. Hmm. And so this is how they justify it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Determining a child's life already, not even knowing.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
So yeah, in our country, like since I've been alive, what we always hear about when it comes to abortion is Roe versus Wade. And I didn't really have much knowledge of what that was or what kind of court case that was. And going back, that was a court case, and it says the Roe case arose out of Texas law that prohibited legal abortion except to save the woman's life. At the time, most of the states had laws similar to the one in Texas. So pretty much state laws, most people chose in their state to protect life, unless for reasons of like rape, incest, and like the health of the mother. Mm-hmm. And so Roe brought this lawsuit against Wade, the district attorney in Texas. She was a single woman and pregnant and wanted to terminate her baby. Her lawsuit claimed that Texas law violated her right to privacy. Okay. This case went to the Supreme Court, and it actually made it a right under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. At that point, Roe versus Wade pretty much overrided all state laws and that became the law of the land. So it became a federal law, and that made it for pretty much the rights to have free or rights to have abortions for any woman. And then, of course, they went through talking about how, you know, when can a woman have an abortion? And according to the left, this makes it for we shouldn't even be able to pass any state laws restricting abortion. So now we're in the battle of, we talked about earlier, the heartbeat bill. So a lot of states are trying to pass that once the baby has a heartbeat, can't have an abortion. And that's, according to the left, that's unconstitutional. Ultimately, yeah, the goal is to bring that to the Supreme Court and make them re-decide if Roe versus Wade is legit still and if that should be the law of the land. So, a few stats, 50 million abortions in America since 1973. In 2008, there was 638,169 reported abortions in America, and that equals 3,000 abortions a day. 22% of all pregnancies now end in abortion. In states like New York, they said the abortion rate is over 50%.
Yeah, I think I heard something like 1 in 4 pregnancies or something end in an abortion. Yep.
Now, abortion's not a new idea. It's not something that's just happened last 100 years. It's actually been around since the beginning of time in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more prevalent because it's easier to do medically. It's a lot safer for them to perform abortion than it used to be. I'm not really sure how they did it before 100, 200 years ago, but we know they did because it's talked about in early writings. And pretty much, yeah, the 1973 decision really changed things in America.
Mm-hmm. So going to, okay, this is the situation, right? This is the law of the land. And this has, over time, become, you know, culturally more acceptable to have an abortion. And people vary in the degrees to which they think, you know, abortion is okay. For instance, some people would be okay with, you know, the baby right up to the point, right? Or even, I guess, a little bit after birth. But other people vary, you know, to different degrees, whether, you know, it's in the second trimester, third trimester, those type of things. But, you know, us being Christians, where should we stand, you know, on this issue? Because this is something that, you know, can affect our Christian communities, you know, and we need to have a stance on what our belief's going to be on this issue. And from what I found about, you know, when Roe versus Wade passed, it was kind of like quiet when it first passed. And there wasn't a lot of pushback. And even from evangelicals, there wasn't a lot of pushback. They didn't see how the decision had much effect. And some, like, big-time, like, ultra-conservative, you know, Christians that today are well-known back then said some things that you would be shocked about Roe versus Wade. So they didn't have, like, a big stance on it in the beginning. It was really the Catholic Church that immediately came out and said, this is wrong, you can't do this, and they're the ones who started the movement against it. And it's kind of odd because we would, you know, we would think, well, of course there was, you know, a lot of Christians against it. But in the beginning, there wasn't much noise about it, which is pretty strange. Mm. But over time, the Christian community began to change on their view on it. And they began to develop a pro-life movement out of that. And so we're going to look at the Christian arguments towards abortion, and we, of course, are going to go, you know, back to Scripture as the basis of why we have the beliefs that we have. And so, starting off, you know, it's wrong to intentionally kill innocent human beings, and this is a belief seen, you know, in the Exodus story, right? With the babies being killed by Pharaoh. And it goes back to, everything essentially goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where humans are created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And then this is later talked about, you know, with Noah after the flood, where he says, God once again talks about why you are not to kill people, because mm-hmm. the world was extremely violent and murderous and before the flood. So after the flood, God's like, hey, this is not to be done. They were made in my image, okay? In the image of God, they were created. And so there is just an inherent value in being human because of God, right? God has placed that value on humans. And so to trump that is to go against God, what God has said about who we are. And so when we're talking about taking the life of a human, it's an extremely big deal that you are suggesting, because you are suggesting to do something that is of, you know, a deep, deep, mm-hmm. grave importance, in that you bear the image of God as a human being, and that is not to be taken lightly for any circumstance, and especially, you know, that of a baby child. I mean, is a serious thing.
Well, in Genesis, he even talks about, too, when he was in the process of, you know, creating this world and everything, and it mm-hmm. plants, the trees, everything like that, he ultimately says we are his best creation.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. if right. we don't even value ourselves as that, mm-hmm. how are we going to value other life as that? Right. If yep. you can't mm-hmm. value yourself as, you know, I'm God's best creation, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. all of us connected to each other in that, you're not going to value life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's so important for our kids to understand. Like, you were created as yeah. his best creation. Mm-hmm. You are the best creation amongst the trees, the animals, everything mm-hmm. that God's created.
Yep.
We yeah. ultimately are mm-hmm. the best one creation, because we Absolutely. Are, like you just said, and made in his image. Mm-hmm. So, and he yeah. is the best. He
yeah.
is
yeah.
the
yeah.
alpha, the om- yeah. I mean, he's everything.
It doesn't get much better
no,
than
exactly.
that.
No, exactly. So,
that's,
you know,
the top of the,
yeah.
the tier.
Yep, absolutely. So...
Yeah, and I think that that's definitely important. You have to have that first foundational belief
mm-hmm.
that there is something unique and different about being human that yeah. isn't the same as being an animal, an ant, a tree.
Yeah.
Right? If you right. don't come from that foundation, and it's important that all Christians have that foundational belief, because the secular world, it sort of makes sense why they come to conclusions about things.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that an ant and a pig and a human are no different from one another, then you can logically, you know, yeah. deal with them in mm-hmm. ways that are much different
mm-hmm.
than what you would coming from a biblical point of view. And that's something that is extremely foundational.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you don't have this one belief...
Yeah.
A lot of the conclusions you make about a host of issues, not just abortion,
exactly.
Are going to be greatly affected.
Yeah. Well, there's also the view out there that a child is not a baby until they leave the womb. Mm-hmm. So they, mm-hmm. until they're born, they're not a baby. Our authority is God mm-hmm. on that one. And God makes it pretty clear. First of all, in Jeremiah 1-5, he said he knew...
Yeah,
he knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb,
mm-hmm.
and that he was set apart in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at when Elizabeth's talking to Mary, it said the baby leapt in her womb. So there was a literal baby inside,
mm-hmm.
and it leapt in the body, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The sound of the greeting reached the ears, and they said that the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Mm-hmm. So there was like a happiness and a yeah. joy. And, you know, we all talk to our children mm-hmm. when they're in the womb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody considers that a baby.
Mm-hmm.
When you're having a baby, no one would ever say, well, no, that's just some cell. You know, that's some right. cell cluster. No, that's a
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even on early stages, if you look at a baby at 8 weeks, it's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
tell it's a baby.
Yeah.
It's not... You know, it's never a car, it's never a tree,
yeah.
it's always a yeah. baby.
Yep.
And they respond, like, you know, when
yep.
they hear your voice,
yes.
they will respond
yep.
to certain foods a mother will eat. The baby responds, like,
yep.
So for people to say that and to even say like they can't feel or anything or don't know, that's 100% a lie, because right. how would any of that be happening?
Yeah.
If not, you know, they respond mm-hmm. to the light. You know, you put a flashlight on your stomach. I'm sure you men haven't done that, but no, I'm just saying, no. like, the baby responds to yeah. all those things, yep. and yeah. it's...
And sometimes even if my... I remember my wife, I'd walk in the room and start talking, and she said the baby yeah, start moving. Absolutely. The baby knew my voice.
Yes.
Knew
your voice. You're yep. already building that intimate relationship yes. with that child from the second.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. there, so...
So that's an easy one, really, that... God knows us before yeah. mm-hmm. we're even born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes even beyond that. We can even go back that God knows us before we're even in yes, the womb.
Before conception.
Before conception, God knows who we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. There's always a lot of value in life mm-hmm. right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one that everybody always talks about, that Jesus loves the little children.
Yep. There's yes. a song about
there's
it.
There's a song, yes. Jesus loves the children. This is very true to a very... high degree. You know, Jesus said, like, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, mm-hmm. for they belong to the kingdom of heaven. But this is the one that's always really intense, is mm-hmm. Matthew 18:16. It says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, mm-hmm. it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Obviously, you know, children are very important to Jesus, mm-hmm. and the fact that as adults, you know, we're supposed to take care of them mm-hmm. and be responsible over them. We need to make the idea like of terminating can, I'm sure, in God's sight is not good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the question, like one of the societal questions, because we talked earlier about like rape. Mm-hmm. Incest
yeah.
and the health of the mother, and there's also the argument of terminating a child who is born with, like, who's deformed, disabled, mm-hmm. who has something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 2019, we have the medical ability to know that mm-hmm. before they're born. And I remember when our kids, they always asked us to take some certain test. They're like, "You should take this test," and we're like, "Why?" Well, they're like, "Well, then we would know if there's any deformities, and then you can terminate
yeah.
the child."
Yeah.
And we never took the test mm-hmm. because it was like, whatever, you know, we're going to be happy with our child regardless. We don't yeah. want to take the test even though. Mm-hmm. But God obviously has value for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah 45:9-11, I'm going to go ahead and read this because I've never read this. I don't remember this verse, but it was pretty powerful when it came to a child's life. And it says, "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd mm-hmm. among the potsherds of the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does the work say, 'He has no hands'? Woe to him who says to the father, 'What have you begotten?' Or to the mother, 'What have you brought to this birth?' This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the works of my hands?" So do we question God on what he has created?
Mm-hmm.
For us to make a choice before the child is even born,
mm-hmm.
are we questioning God and what he's created?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and along with the disabled part, we're like, you know, a lot of times you'll hear in the conversation, like, shouldn't have this kid because they're going to have problems mm-hmm. or they're not up to standard, right? The kid isn't up to normal yeah. standard of what's acceptable by a given society, and so they should be, you know, terminated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, a huge claim to say that you know better than God whether this child should live or not.
Right.
I mean, you are... then claiming that you have the power over life and death, and you can make these decisions upon what life should live and what life shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge belief to just step into. Yeah. I mean, you think of, like, the arrogance of that thought, that you as a human could step into those shoes and be like, yeah, I know which person should live and which should die. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian coming from the Bible, that's just an outrageous claim, mm-hmm. you know, and that would never be acceptable at any time in Christian history, that a Christian would make that claim, mm-hmm. that they could, in fact, decide who should live and who should die. You know, that's always only up to, you know, God to be able to decide that. And it's just, sometimes it's just amazing the thoughts that humans can believe, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just not really thinking about, like, the ramifications or just the extreme arrogance and thinking that you as a human can just step into these situations and that you'll be able to manage it correctly. It's like, you know, often I can't manage putting a door in correctly, you know, let alone doing anything of any mm-hmm. significance.
Yeah.
Like, what would make a human being think that they could do these things of extreme, you know, importance and ramifications and think that they could do that?
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's an amazing thing. And so that's why in Isaiah, it's like, what are you guys complaining about, you know? And he's kind of talking about this quarrel, right, with the maker. And a lot of times we ask, you know, why is this the way it's made? Or like in Exodus, as you have on there with Moses,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, I can't speak. Why would you pick me for this mission? you know, I can't do this and mm-hmm. stuff. And God's like, I am the maker of you, you know. He's like, who made these things? Do you think I don't know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the it's funny because it's like obvious, right? That it's like, of course God is the maker, right? Of course God knows all these things. So if he's picking you to do something, he of course knows that it's mm-hmm. going to work. But that a human would step into this and a human would suggest that he knows all things, right? That he knows what's going to happen. We kind of go back to the statistics there. The idea that you're going to be, your life's planned out already according mm-hmm. to some human statistic, mm-hmm. and therefore, you know, we really shouldn't have you because you wouldn't make it anyways. Like, that's pretty... That's like, think of the arrogance of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the extreme arrogance to suggest that you know someone's entire life.
Well, I think people are all like to be in control.
Yeah.
So it mm-hmm. puts you in that control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if you are out of control in a situation mm-hmm. such as that, like, you know, God is the one who created us, he ultimately gets to. Mm-hmm. create us how he desires, you know, give us the gifts he knows will be used for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to pick them. We don't get to sit and create our own bodies. We don't get to sit there and create the mm-hmm. child that are mm-hmm. the children that are, you know, given to us. So when you hear something from a doctor that says, you know, there is a chance. And the thing is I think people, when they hear that, they don't hear that there's a chance. They hear, well, that's what it is. Yep. Like, mm-hmm.
it's because we know everything.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right, yeah. It's like they completely step out of mm-hmm. that faith and having trust in Jesus and going right into prayer like, God,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's mm-hmm. almost like they accept that. They accept the lies or the whispers from Satan that are going to haunt them or taunt mm-hmm. them the rest of their pregnancy and, you know, after mm-hmm. that. So instead of, you know, going into that submission to Jesus being your will, not mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having that reverence to him and praying to him and mm-hmm. just covering that child instantly,
mm-hmm. yep.
people go into that fear mode, take control, mm-hmm. and we'll do that.
Yeah.
And I remember for multiple of our pregnancies, especially this last one, we faced those things. Mm. We had markers for autism. We had markers for Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the doctors did ask us that, like, do you, you know... They had us sit down and we were mm-hmm. really serious, came in the room and we're like, what is going on? And it's like, well, you had markers for this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you sure you want to go through with this pregnancy? Yeah. And we were like, absolutely. Like, yes, we will. And as I'll share later, that wasn't always the case. But but after that, for sure, you know, God had really changed my heart and my husband's heart and no matter what, we were mm-hmm. like, absolutely. And mm-hmm. the thing is at least three times that happened out of our six. And they're all fine.
Yeah.
they don't have Down syndrome and any of those issues. But it's like, if we would have terminated mm-hmm. it based off that fear, based off what that doctor told us, we would have lost 3 to 4 of our children right there.
Yep.
By taking power in our own hands, coming up under fear and listening to the lies of Satan. Because guess what? The doctors don't always know everything.
Yeah.
God knows everything. Mm-hmm. And putting our faith and trust into him instead of the flesh of broken people that have that kind of power in front of us, that's where we messed up. Because ultimately he has that. And he can redeem anything. He can heal anything. Even if they say this child comes out with autism, God can heal that.
Right.
But people forget that power. And, you know, that it's still there to this very day until, you know, Jesus returns. Like, he's constantly healing. He's constantly, performing those miracles and across the world. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying is, I know of many other mothers who have gotten the same news from the doctor, like, this kid, going to be messed up, going to have all these problems. And I know the kids today, and they're fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, had they listened, those kids wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, and again, the extreme arrogance in saying, you know, from a test that it's absolute fact. And apparently it's not absolute
fact. No, exactly.
Apparently these tests are pretty wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, just thinking of the percentage-wise of just the people that I know, you know, that's crazy. I would hope the percentage overall is much less of the test failing this bad, but... Because, you know, 50% failure rates, pretty terrible.
Yeah.
You know, if that's real, I don't know. But I definitely know more mothers just like that who had gotten the news and stuff, and it was never true.
Yeah.
And it's like, man.
Well, Satan comes to destroy our joy. You know, that's supposed to be a joyous thing for a mother, you know, for you to be able to carry God's best creation within you. And so what a perfect opportunity for Satan to come in and destroy your joy, create fear, so then ultimately he can kill. Because that's his whole goal is to kill. You know, he tried to kill, you know, Jesus, the seed, by through all those other acts in the Bible, you know, like was always trying to destroy the seed. So he's going to continuously try to destroy the seed. And that's the goal.
That's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, we kind of pretty much laid out what the Bible has to say, right? It's kind of obvious,
right?
I don't know where you would get pro-choice from in the Bible, right?
I don't think there is a pro-choice.
Yeah, like, where's the Bible verses? Right. Like, and it was a good thing they killed, you know, the children in the womb. You know, I don't know where that would be. Or that was, like, somehow biblical or something like that. Yeah. That is a good thing to do. It seems like, you know, having children was valued in the Bible. I mean, I think that's pretty overwhelming to be fruitful and multiply, right? If anything, it's having bunches of kids. It's like the theme of the Bible.
I'm doing that.
Yep, you are. Yes. You definitely are. And I mean, that's a whole nother topic of how much people go against having lots of kids or look down on that. And it's like, what happened? Or, you know, that kids, I don't know. But anyways, that's a whole nother topic to go down. But kind of sticking with abortion, I'm going to kind of go through Christian history here. So we see this scripture and it's like, well, maybe it's just the 20th century and the 21st where Christians were like adamantly against aborting babies. Maybe that's just a new phenomenon that Christians are just finding out of nowhere in the scriptures and just kind of manipulating it to make it interpret what they want. So let's go to Christian history. And from the very early church, okay, so at least the second century. No, actually, it goes earlier. Okay, it goes to the first century. Okay, so this is, you know, in the time a little bit after the book of Acts and stuff like that. So you're getting into the, like 80 AD. So John's still alive. Okay, Luke, probably, I mean, he's getting close to old age to die. But anyways, it's real early on that we have a document, and it's called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. And it says, basically this document was just sort of the first form of what Christians needed to believe. Like, here's what we believe in, and it's a lot of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so it's taking that and putting it down. And so they would hand this out. It was used by early church Christians to kind of help the church know what it is to be a follower of Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 2 of it, it says, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not corrupt boys, and this is kind of, it's another side topic of what that means. It's not good.
Next week's podcast.
Like, this is the nice way to say it, corrupt boys. But thou shalt not commit fornication, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not deal in magic, thou shalt not do sorcery, thou shalt not murder a child by abortion, nor kill them when born. Okay, so from the first century... From the very beginning, like, this is early, early, early church. This is one of the earliest documents that we have that's not part of the Bible. And it says that they believe that you shouldn't murder a child by abortion or kill them when they're born. So from the beginnings, we have this belief in Christian history, okay? It's a belief that goes back from its very roots to now. This has always been the Christian belief towards abortion, that it is wrong. And the world in which they lived said that it was right. Most of human history was okay with killing babies, okay? Whether it be for sacrifice or just because it was inconvenient for you, it was okay to kill babies. And a lot of what we don't realize is the fact that there's even a debate today is because Christianity, right? Because Jesus came, because of what he did, this is why we even have this thought. Because it's not a natural thought that appears in societies of humans. They naturally assume that it's okay. In fact, even in the Roman law, according to Cicero, in the 12 tables of Roman law, it says, deformed infants shall be killed. So it was a law that if there was something wrong with them, that they should be killed, okay? That you needed to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's somewhat further than today, but that they must be killed. And others spoke, you know, of how they would offer up their own kids to those who had no children. They could buy these little ones from poor people and then cut their throats and sacrifice them to gods.
That's just terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. The world didn't value human life, but why would they? If you have no belief that there is any significant value to humans, that they're no different from a pig, from a tree, from whatever, this is the natural conclusion. And for most of human history, this is how humans thought about life. And we don't, I think a lot of our life growing up in this culture has definitely forgotten what the world is like before Christianity. We take a lot of assumptions for granted. Even the idea that there's a woman's right comes from Christianity. Even this idea that there's somehow an individual is valued comes from Christianity. So, I don't know. It's just a lot is taken for granted as to what the thoughts are even today. But it is definitely a historical secular view to kill babies. I mean, that's just normal human nature. It's not an advanced form of thought. Like, a lot of times it's seen as this is progressive. This is the more advanced form of thought, that it's okay. It's the oldest thought there ever was. You know, like, it is nothing new that you're suggesting. The newest thought is that there's value in every human's life. Mm-hmm. That's the newest thought that ever came to the world. It didn't exist before Christianity, before Judaism and stuff like that, but especially before Christianity. And this is because Christians believed all humans were made in the image of God. Okay, it goes all back mm-hmm. to that foundational belief, and therefore all these conclusions happened afterwards. And, Christians would then, not only did they not abort themselves, they would try to save the kids the Romans were going to kill. Okay, mm-hmm. and so in their mind, you didn't put much value, in the Roman world, you didn't put much value into kids for a long time. Partly it was because there was disease and health wasn't good. One third of young children would die anyways, just from disease and stuff. And so there just wasn't much value placed on kids, period, because, they might die or whatever. And so if you didn't want your kid, so what would happen was the dad decided everything in this time. It was the dad's choice whether to keep a kid or kill a kid. Now, today, it's the woman's choice, but it's essentially the same scenario. It's really no different mm-hmm. than the Romans. The Romans' dad would sit in his room, and they would come and bring the child and set it on the floor in front of him. If it was a boy, and he would inspect the child, he'd look it over to see if it was up to snuff, because in the Roman world, only the strongest, the best, should live, okay? They needed to have a strong and good society, and they didn't need to waste their time with kids who weren't going to cut it. And so the dad would inspect the kid, and if it wasn't up to par, he wouldn't pick the child up, and he would turn away from it. And so then this means the mom or the slave would come in, take the child, and they would take it to an area of town. Sometimes there was a square in the town, which was a place to expose your kid. So expose means you just set them out there to the elements, and they died. And this was, death by exposure. Or some villages would take them to the woods, and you'd leave them there, and then that's where they died. Some were eaten by dogs and stuff. And that seems like bizarre to us, but there's lots of weird recordings of people dead in the streets and different things, and dogs are carrying their bodies and stuff like that. But again, in this culture, life isn't valued. So to them, they don't think anything of a dog eating a child as something that's terrible because they're like, it's just life, right? Mm-hmm. Strongest wins. Survival.
Better hope your dad's in a good mood that day. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Survival of the fittest. Yeah. And again, these ideas we have today, we often think that they're somewhat new, and they're not new. They've been around forever. But anyways, so Christians would see that the Romans are just setting their kids out to die by exposure, and so what would they do? They would go and get them. And this made the Roman people upset because they're like, why are you saving these kids? They're not worth living, right? And so these kids, they were just thrown out there as trash, are suddenly important to the Romans because you're going against society. You're going against culture, and this makes a good society and a good culture to let these kids die, and you Christians are ruining it. And we think how weird that they're getting in trouble for saving people, but in a secular world, they think way different, right? Yeah. We come with the basis that life is important. Mm-hmm. And in most of human history, they have not thought this way. This is a unique Christian phenomenon that happened to the world. And praise God it did, mm-hmm. because there has been so much that has benefited because God came. But also, there would be child sacrifice. That was a normal thing, like we mentioned. You go pay some poor people, they would give you your kid. then you'd go and sacrifice it to God Saturn, who was a god who ate his children, and Zeus escaped from Saturn is sort of where the legend comes from, and he ends up killing his dad and stuff like that. Great morals for the world, but this was the world in which they lived in. And there's another defense that this Christian writer Tertullian is writing to the Roman rulers of the world, and he's making a defense for Christians. And a lot of his defense is like, why are you trying to kill us all the time? Right? Why are you guys persecuting us? He's making the defense like, we do nothing but good all the time. Like, we do nothing but help your world, in which you don't actually do. Even though you guys are the rulers and it's your world, we're still out there helping your people. And he hits many, many, many different topics of how they're the ones who go and save the sick when all the Romans take off running and leave them for dead. We're the ones who come in and help your people. We're the ones who come help the poor. We're the ones who are doing all these things. And we teach that we should respect you, even though you're trying to kill us. He's like, every time we meet in church, we're praying for your rulers, right? Even though we know they're going to try to hunt us down, kill us. But anyways, one of the things he talks about is child murder. And he says this, but in regard to child murder, as it does not matter whether it is committed for a sacred object or merely at one's own self-impulse. So even back then, people did it because having the kid, for whatever reason, wasn't convenient for them. There's nothing new about these arguments being made. They're very old. How many, even of our own rulers, notable for their justice to you and for their severe measures against us, may I charge in their own consciences with the sin of putting their own children to death? So again, he talks about your rulers who you hold in such high esteem as these just and, you know, great, great characters of virtue and morals. He's like, they kill their own children. And this is just a common practice among everybody, even the best of you. And as to any difference in the kind of murder, it is certainly the more cruel way to kill by drowning. So he's going to list the different ways they would kill their babies. Kill by drowning or by exposure to cold and hunger and by dogs. A mature age has always preferred death by the sword. So he's making the argument like, you guys think this is a good way to kill your children? He's like, adults look at this and we're, you know, he's saying what adult would want to die this way, right? We would prefer the quick death, which back then was by the sword, over dying this way, right? Yeah. Starving to death, freezing to death, being drowned or eaten by dogs. And he's like, why would you treat your kids in a worse way than you would treat an adult person? And he's like, in our case as Christians, murder being once for all forbidden. Okay, so he's making the claim out there. This is what the Christians believe. You are never to murder anybody. It's forbidden to us. We may not destroy even the fetus in the womb. So the fact that they didn't know about this, that they're that, you know, the fetus is in the womb, they definitely did, and this was a practice people tried even back then. There was different poisons that the moms would ingest to try to kill the baby, or different ways they try to, you know, induce a miscarriage and stuff like that. And so this is, again, nothing new to our world today. And, you know, this is, again, something that was common even in the early church's time, and they've always had the stance that it's wrong to murder anybody, right? That's always wrong to do, and that they didn't do that. And so after Constantine comes and the Christians take over, they create laws that begin to protect abandoned children and different things. And so as Christianity begins to dominate the culture, these practices of the pagan world begin to fade out. And this is why we think today these things are new, because Christianity had gotten rid of, you know, these types of practices as being acceptable for a long time, along with a lot of hosts of other things, not just abortion. But so, again, the view of Christians throughout history from the very earliest points, you know, is that it is wrong to commit abortion. And they knew about all the different ways in which you do it, just like today, you know, whether it's inside the womb you do it or not, the Christian view was that it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So kind of the takeaways for us, I would say number one is we have to have a level of compassion towards people who have maybe made this type of choice, because the world ultimately, like, how would you know this if you weren't a Christian? Mm-hmm. If the world's telling you this is okay, right, and telling you why it's okay, and you don't have what God, the value that God's given you into your heart, you don't know, you're going to make choices like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not always, they're saying more and more today that a lot of these choices are made out of convenience. Mm-hmm. It's not because it's medically necessary, and it's not because there's something wrong with the child. It's just becoming an easy choice to make, and why not?
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a burden on me to have this child right now. I'm just going to terminate the pregnancy and get it over with. And there's people who believe that that's not a baby. It's just cells forming in the body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's an easy, for them, it's an easy choice to just be able to terminate the pregnancy. And they've never heard this. I mean, and it kind of shows how polarized our sides are. I don't know if the left or the right, whatever you believe, even knows what the other side believes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument today is on the left, their argument is it's a woman's right.
Right.
The right's argument is we can't kill babies. Mm-hmm. They're not even arguing, you know, both of them, neither one of them are listening to each other.
Right.
At all. And so, but as Christians, we have to have that compassion and we have to forgive. And we have to understand that without Christ, like you said, the world has believed this forever. Yeah. So without Christianity, this is a normal, like, fleshly reaction to have no value in a child's life, in a baby's life.
And I think that's part of, you know, the power of Christianity in general is that if people, we have this forgiveness, right, that whatever has gone on in your life, Christianity brings forgiveness through Christ of no matter what has been done. And that's part of the power. It's not amazing if somebody's done basically, I don't know, it's amazing that somebody is lost and they're found, right? Mm-hmm. That they are dead and now they're alive, as like the prodigal son story. And Jesus gives many different parables describing this. What's amazing, what's rejoiceful, right? What's astounding about the power of the gospel is that people who the world thought, oh, these people are so lost, these people are so far away that you could never turn that person around, that Christianity comes in and is like, oh, yeah, that person addicted to alcohol who you guys thought was the town drunk, now he's not, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's this new person. That's what's amazing. Right, it's not amazing if it's just people who is like, well, yeah, it kind of makes sense that they went that way.
Yeah,
what's amazing is that the gospel has the power to reach anyone.
Yeah,
right. No matter how dark their place is, that the gospel has that power.
Yeah.
To reach them, and that's why forgiveness is amazing. You know, when you're seeing people who came from this world turn and come to Christ, and you know, that's fantastic. And yeah, we shouldn't harbor the exact opposite of that would be to harbor some sort of, you know, persecution on the people or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because the real power of the gospel is to redeem situations, to take situations that were broken and make them whole. You know, that's what's the power of Christ.
And I think the churches don't, and I'm not trying to knock the churches, but I don't think they do justice and what should mm-hmm. be heard and taught. Like, I think that if a lot of people just heard, like, everything that you guys have been discussing and the church has taught on this and why life is so valuable, mm-hmm. and that these aren't just issues that are just now coming that we're all facing now. Like, these are issues that were done way mm-hmm. back then and practiced way back then, yeah. and people battled way back then mm-hmm. when Christians were up against way back when. Mm-hmm. I think people would have more knowledge and wisdom and understanding as to why life is so valuable and why we should be standing up mm-hmm. and protecting these children, you know? And yeah. it's not just this area. It's a multiple of areas that the churches don't really touch on. And
yeah.
out of yeah. fear and out of, you know, what they can and cannot do. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know, but I think that there's so much more than knowing just the love side of things. You need to know the spiritual warfare you're up against. Mm-hmm. You need to know that this is something you're up against every single day. So you need to wake up and allow God to place that armor on you every day mm-hmm. and to be speaking truth and going against the grain, mm-hmm. which is the world. Yeah. And so yeah. when you're not doing that and you're not prepared to do that, mm-hmm. you come up under a lot of these issues mm-hmm. or you just are silent and ignore it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And
yeah.
I think that, you know, people don't think that they know a lot of people that have done this, have mm-hmm. had abortions. But the truth is, everyone knows somebody, mm-hmm. whether you're, a, mm-hmm. You know it or not, yeah. Yeah. consciously, but you yeah. know somebody that's
just
done this.
The numbers of what they're yes. saying, yeah. it's impossible.
Yes. How many women are sitting in your churches today
yeah. sure. mm-hmm.
that are harboring mm-hmm. this and haven't received healing in this yeah. area because the churches don't really talk about it much,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and other people don't really talk about it much, or if people do, it's kind of like a... Wow, who could ever do that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that yeah. kind of, so then mm-hmm. when you speak like that, yep. who's going to want to stand mm-hmm. up and say, I did, yeah. you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
no one wants yeah. to, no one wants mm-hmm. to share those really broken areas, especially when it has to do with them and the choices that they made in their own mm-hmm. brokenness. Everyone's yeah. brokenness is yeah. different. Everyone's, you know, what they've gone through life has mm-hmm. led them to make this choice in a different way. And so I think that we just do a big injustice here in mm-hmm. how we handle it, how we approach it, and what we say when we do talk about it. We
yeah.
need to be, like you said, forgiving and just mm-hmm. saying how powerful the Holy Spirit is, where he can do when we turn mm-hmm. this over to him and give it to him and allow him to come and redeem and heal and mm-hmm. do all of his mighty powers that he does yeah. in situations.
Yep, yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Now, the world does talk about, or like the left will kind of comment like, well, okay, let's just say we ban abortion and make it for it's not legal anymore.
Right.
What are we going to do with all these kids?
Yeah.
And that's a legit question yeah. mm-hmm. is when you talk about 50 million kids have been aborted.
Yeah, they aren't here.
They're not here. Now, mm-hmm. if those 50 million or the 3,000 a day, they said 3,000 yeah. kids a day, who's going to take care of those kids?
Well, aren't the churches called to?
That's yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
But now, is the church doing that? Is the church doing a good enough job right now? The fact that there is kids in foster care and need adopted,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we have this big, mighty church of,
yeah.
what, half the population claims to be Christians mm-hmm. in America? Yeah. Why is it not a waiting list
mm-hmm.
to adopt a child? Like, that's got to change. I mean, like,
it's inconvenient, right. even for people yeah. that yeah. are in the church.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they look at it as an inconvenience yeah. to their life, what mm-hmm. they yeah. want their life to be or look like, what mm-hmm. they're going to put
Absolutely.
All their
yep.
selfish desires ahead of what God says. Yeah. They're not submitted to the will of God. They're submitted to their own will
yeah.
while teetering, like, all right, God, I'm here for you, but not that.
No, yeah, right. like, yep.
It's a little too much.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, you know, and the yeah. churches are supposed to be are called the hospitals, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Why mm-hmm. are so many people that are broken, hurt, mm-hmm. and lost not entering into that mighty now, hospital?
100%.
Yeah, yep. like, they're mm-hmm. not coming, and yep. there's a reason why they're not coming.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's sad because mm-hmm. that should be the place they seek refuge and get the healing and the truth mm-hmm. amongst all the lies they've heard up to that point. And
yeah.
but because of how people handle it in the church,
yeah.
when they do talk about the topics or it just not being talked about at all, creates this problem.
Yeah, I think the church doesn't want an inconvenience either.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to have to adopt or foster it, it's a huge inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, we know the world's not going to do
yeah.
it. They're not going to start adopting yep. kids. So if you're going to create the environment where you're saying we want to end this in our country, Well, then we have to also have the solution to it and say, we'll adopt every kid there is.
Yeah.
Yep, we'll adopt every one of them every day. Mm-hmm. Well, every church is going to open up and make sure those kids are all adopted.
Yeah.
Which, again, as we went over, Christians historically did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yep. They went out and said, we think this is wrong, what's happening to these kids, so we're going to go take them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it inconvenienced them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure most of these people were crazy poor in comparison to today. Yes. And they're like, yeah, let's go get another person to take care of
them. Mm-hmm.
Because that'll make our life better. Yeah. You know, it was obviously a burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, where were their values coming from, right? Mm-hmm. What drove their life and their lifestyle? And I think it came from a completely different place than... Well, much of Christianity.
Price tags on kids now, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Then you could go off and you could get them save them
that's
in the street.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
you're paying how much money for a child if you want to adopt one and go that route? Like, it's just...
I know.
It's ridiculous when you look at all of it. Like, it's just absolutely...
It's like, how is it this not making money off of it?
Exactly.
But,
yes.
Whatever.
So either you kill them or you pay this much for one.
Yeah.
Like, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
You know, if they're so valueless that you can kill it.
Right.
Yeah.
Then how is it also super expensive? Right. You know, like, that doesn't...
Yeah.
Huh.
How the world makes sense of it. Yeah. You know? But.
Well, on top of that, if you want to... Let's just say Christians want to win the culture war. Well... Here's the winning argument. If all these children's coming from adoption and you're adopting them and you're giving them Christian worldview, you ultimately win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because every child who was going to be aborted is now alive and in a Christian household.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're truly living for Christ, those kids are going to be transformed and they're going to be living for it.
Again, redeeming the situation.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
A situation that their stats said that this kid would have ended up this way. You're like, nope.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You went in and redeemed it, right? You took a broken situation and now made it whole. And I don't know. It's just
widows and orphans, too. I mean, the Bible talks about the orphans and how we're supposed to always be caring for the orphans. And on top of that, a lot of these women, they might not be widows, but they might be single mothers, which is very similar.
Yeah.
And we should be supporting them. Mm-hmm. And that's how you support them, is you're ready to adopt their child in the case of, you know, if there was an accidental pregnancy, you're there for them.
Yep.
Yep.
So the church needs to step it up.
Step it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close this podcast. And so thank you for listening. And there's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at thirdoptionpodcast@gmail.com.
If you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you're listening.
And keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.